Amen. If we turn to that passage again, please, in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and our text is verse 27. And we'll all read it together again. John chapter 14 and the verse 27. Let's all read the word of the Lord. This is the words of the Saviour. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to the scriptures now, we just pray, Lord, that you would go before us. Go before me, Lord. I pray you would speak in me, for me, and through me. Take away nerves, Lord, and help me to speak in a simple and a clear manner this evening. And we pray, O God, that there would be a word of exhortation, a word of challenge, a word of conviction, a word of power, Lord, for some precious soul here this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would bless your word, to our precious hearts now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and what a ministry it was. Many, many miracles that took place during the earthly ministry of Christ. To name a few, he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, he made the deaf to hear, he cast demons out of people, he healed the lepers, he raised Lazarus from the dead, he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, and he calmed the storm, and he also walked in the water. And that is only to mention a few of the miracles of Christ. And here in John chapter 14, the account that we have before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples in a loving and a calming and reassuring manner, despite what the Saviour had ahead of him. Of course, what was going to take place after we read these passages of scriptures is that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be arrested, and he was going to be betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter also denying being a follower of Christ. Jesus' arrest was soon followed by, of course, his death on the cross in Calvary's middle tree. Yet despite the Saviour knowing that he had this ahead of him, he wanted to reassure his disciples that even with his death on the cross, he would not leave them comfortless. He would not leave them alone. How do I know that? Well, if we look at John 14 and the verse 26, the Saviour says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Isn't that lovely words, especially for us that saved and washed in that precious blood this evening? You're saved by the grace of God here this evening. You're not only saved by the grace of God, but God has kept you up until this point in your life. And you think of the goodness and the grace of God in your life. And whatever you're going through tonight in your life, for us that's saved, I don't know what's going through your mind right now. I don't know the state of your heart. But whatever is going on in your life, of course I don't know about it. But we have a Father in heaven who knows every single last thing about us, in our mind and even in our hearts. We have the comfort, we have the Holy Ghost to direct and to guide us in our Christian life. No matter what life experience we are facing, whether it be good or whether it even be bad, praise God, Christ is with us. Though I want you to imagine how these disciples would have felt. Our answer is found in our text here in verse 27. Whenever the Saviour says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So our answer is, how was these disciples feeling? They had troubled hearts. And I don't know about you this evening, but we can all relate to that, can't we? Whether it was past, whether it's present, or whether it's in the future, we are going to have troubled hearts. We're going to have broken hearts. We're going to have heavy hearts. What's going to carry us through? The Lord, the Comforter, the power of the Holy Ghost in one's life. Perhaps there's somebody in the meeting who's still not saved outside of Christ. And you know perhaps a believer who has lost somebody near and dear to them, perhaps a mother, perhaps a father. And you say, how does that person get through life? I tell you why. It's the Lord. They have the comforter to get them through every trial and every tragedy that they have in their life. But a person without Christ, who do they have? They still have that void. They still have that separation from God in their heart and in their life. What can they turn to? They might be able to turn to people, turn to drink, drugs, immorality, sin. What happens? It's short-lived. It's counterfeit. It's fake. It's fraud. They're done out of the real McCoy, so to speak. And they are looking for peace in their own places. It really is as simple as that. They are looking for peace in their own places. People will never have the peace of God until they are at peace with God. That really is the bottom line. I'll repeat that again. People will not have the peace of God until they are at peace with God. But praise God, the night we as believers, for us that see if we have the Comforter. Everything in these disciples' lives were about to change. They were going to lose their teacher. They were going to lose his presence. They were going to lose his leadership, his friendship. Now, I don't know about you, but imagine if you have lost, or you knew that you were going to lose somebody that was really close to you in your life. How would you feel? You're going to feel exactly the way these disciples were feeling in this present time in their life. You're going to have a troubled heart too, as well as these disciples. And the ironic thing about it is, and this is a word of encouragement, the Lord's disciples, they were ordinary people. They weren't men who had brains to burn, who had academic. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way. My point that I'm trying to make is that the Lord is not looking for our capability. Rather, he's looking for our availability. He is looking people with a genuine and a sincere heart to serve him and to love him. These disciples were faced with and filled with sadness, with worry and anxiety and fear. And again, we've hit the nail on the head of society today, even with us as believers. We can be filled with fear, anxiety and worry. Why? Because our hearts are heavy. Truth be told, our hearts are troubled. And this is a reminder to the believer tonight that no matter what our feelings or circumstances or trials or difficulties, we are never alone, even though sometimes we feel that way. I think of the account of the Saviour on the ship with his disciples, and the storm came. And remember, you all know the story where the boat or the ship was getting filled with water, and the disciples panicked and they had a lack of faith. And they called on the Lord. Well, where was the Lord? He was asleep in the back of the ship. And oftentimes in our lives, folks, truth be told, we don't know or we have no rhyme or reason what the Lord is doing in our lives. We try to question God, don't we? Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing with me? Why are you putting me through this right now? And do you want to know something? The truth is, oftentimes we do not know what the Lord is doing behind the scenes. And it's a bit like the Lord being in this ship as well. We do not know what the Lord is doing behind the scenes. Because our minds are so small, our thinking is so feeble, the Lord's ways is not our ways. The Lord's thoughts is not our thoughts. We just have to, folks, we have to trust on him. Praise God, we are on the victory side this evening as believers. But secondly, it's not only a reminder to believers, but it's also another message to the unbeliever. And I think this is very sad that oftentimes a lot of unbelievers can think this, and this is that unbelievers perhaps think that a believer thinks that their life is perfect. So basically, somebody that's not saved knows somebody that is saved, and that unsaved person thinks, well, sure, that boy, that woman thinks their life's perfect. And that really is the lie of the devil. The devil's so crafty, so subtle, isn't he? He tries to get that unbeliever, he tries to keep them from Christ, from coming to faith in Christ. Therefore, the enemy is going to try and come in like a flood and try and fill your mind with everything else, but come into saving faith in Christ. Why? Because he knows his time is short. And the reality is, he does not want any of us meeting in this meeting house this evening. He would rather if these doors were shut. because the enemy knows that his time is short. Therefore, he is going to try and do anything to the unbeliever who is not saved. He's going to try and fill your mind and try and distract you with other things and other ways to try and keep you with Christ. Therefore, he will use believers as a tool to say, well, sure, their life's perfect, they think they're great. If only they realise that a believer is completely the opposite. A believer is nothing but a broken man or woman that has come to Christ. Because they realise that in and through themselves, they're nothing. See me standing here tonight. I'm a nobody. I am a nobody. That is the truth. Without Christ, I'm nothing. I love what Paul said in Philippians 4 in the verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's all the Lord, folks. It's not of me. It's not of you, for you that's saved. It is all of God. For dust thou art, and dust thou shall return. We're just men and women saved by the grace of God. Some of us in this meeting tonight, and you still have not come to saving faith in Christ. Can I plead with you tonight? Your time is really running short. This might be the last opportunity tonight that you will hear a gospel message from me pleading you to come to Christ. The difference is with the believer, or rather, John 16 and 33 says this, and this is for believers, and also for the unbeliever to know that the Saviour says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not you might have tribulation, not that you might have hard times, not that you should. But you will, believer, you will have tribulations, you will have storms, you will have tragedies in your life. But the thing is, just a reminder of what I spoke about a few moments ago, we have, praise God, the Holy Ghost in our lives to get us through the hard times. Therefore, in saying that, even though this verse is clearly for the believer, if I'm allowed to tonight, I want to take it out of context. Because my thoughts turn towards those that are still separated from God. Those that still have a void in their heart and life and are trusting in themselves and not putting their faith and trust in the Lord himself. Because if you're in this meeting tonight without Christ, the reality is your heart is troubled. But the only thing is you do not have the comfort or you do not have the Holy Ghost within you for whenever trial and tragedy comes in your life. You have no real genuine peace. You have no lasting contentment in your heart and your life. And by the way, in case you haven't already known, you never will have until you come to that place in your life where you say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Jesus I freely give. This world, folks, as we all know, can offer us many, many things. Truth be told, and it's a no-brainer to say that it will leave you nothing but to be a broken vessel. Oh yes, there's pleasure in it, but what does the Bible say? Only but for a season. But what the message of the gospel is tonight, everything that God has to offer you is eternal. It's real, it's genuine, and it's praise God forever. If you were to leave this scene of time tonight with Christ in your heart and life, you will see him and you will be able to say like the hymn writer, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his wondrous grace. Can you honestly say that tonight from the bottom of your heart if you were to go out of this car park and to be taken into God's eternity? Have you got that reassurance? Coming back to our text, the Lord says at the end of verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So tonight I want to share a few brief thoughts about the heart. Now, by the way, whenever the scriptures talk about the heart, it's not actually talking about this organ on our left-hand side of our bodies that pumps blood around our bodies. It's not talking about that at all. Whenever the scriptures talk about the heart, it talks about where we do our meditations. Therefore, it's a part of what we feel, what we think, and what we want. It's a part of our mind and our will and our emotions. Our heart is our meditator. Thy word have I hid in thy heart, the psalmist says, that I might not sin against thee. Not thy word have I hid in my head. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Jeremiah, the prophet, put it great. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, our heads can hold lots of information, but it's our hearts that hold the meditations. We can have all the knowledge of the day, which is great. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to have it in your heart. And my question is to you tonight, whether you're saved or you're not saved, have you got Christ in your heart and in your life? Because if you haven't, then you've absolutely nothing. Believer, if you are not shown the traits of Christ in your life, you need to come to that place of brokenness again, and you need to get right this evening. You need to have a humble heart. You need to be humble for the Saviour. The first thing that I want to think about with considering the heart is the problem with the heart. We want to think about the problem of the heart. You see, many tonight have troubled hearts. But the message is tonight that God is interested in troubled hearts. Every one of us here in this building, outside of these walls, will and have and always will encounter problems in life. It could be family issues, it could be relationships, it could be friends, it could be our jobs, it could be our finances, it could be dealing with people, as the saying goes, where there's people, there's problems. It could be issues with vehicles, health, physically and mentally. It could be wayward children. You get the picture that I'm trying to draft. We all will face problems in our lifetime. And of course, not forgetting the young people too. Yous are not exempt from having problems in your life as well. And we do sympathise with you in that, with the decisions that you have to make, whether it be in regards to school, university, the careers that you have to choose. Yous have a lot of big decisions ahead of you as well to make. Yous are not exempt from the trials and troubles of this world also. And the list goes on of different problems that we can have and will have in our lifetime. But there's one main problem that we all have in common, and it's one that we cannot get away from or deny, and that is our problem with sin. We all have something in common, and that is that we all have a problem with sin. The difference is some of us are saved, and perhaps there is some that is not. The problem of sin, although problems in our life can vary and will individually and personally, the problem of sin is one that we cannot avoid, and it is one that we are tarred with the same brush. We are all the same. There's no difference in us whatsoever. You see, the Bible tells me that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have the same identity. Yes, we may all look different, but we all have the same identity in regards to our sin. We are all sinners in that regard. And how did this problem of sin come about in the first place? Well, of course, it all comes back to the time of creation. Whenever God made this earth perfect, prepared everything for Adam and Eve, had them wanting for nothing. And of course, what happened? Well, the old enemy came in like a flood. Even though Adam and Eve were given strict and clear instruction not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what happened? Of course, the old sneaky devil came in again. And he appeared onto them. And they were tricked and they were lied to. And they were told that nothing would happen to them. There would be no consequences. And exactly the same is happening tonight. There'll be no consequences with sin. Eat, drink and be merry. Plan for your next big thing, the next big holiday, next car, move in house, whatever it'll be, but yet no thought of Christ. Why? Because they don't want to face up to the reality that they're a sinner. Before I came to Christ a long time, 6 years ago, I found it hard to come to terms that I was a sinner and that I needed Christ in my heart and in my life. Why? Well, it's a pride issue as well, isn't it? None of us like to admit it, but we are prideful beings. It's in us, it's our nature. The devil, Satan himself. And from that moment, the world has never been the same, and we have that separation from God. We think of, I believe it's Genesis 1 and 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was a time in this world where there was no death, no sorrow, no sickness, no tears, no pain. But what happened? The consequences of sin. In fact, I even look at the consequences of my own sin. I'm getting tattoo removal at the minute, and it's sore. Why did I share that with you as well? Because it's the consequence of sin. It's the payment of sin. There's a price to pay for the actions that we do. No matter how small, no matter how big, there is always a price to pay for the actions that we do. You see, the reality is tonight, and I am not stating anything that you don't already know, we live in a messed up and a broken world. Many ask tonight, why is this? And people will have every conspiracy under the sun is to answer the problem. And the reason why our country, our little country, is in such a mess. And again, I'm sharing with you something that none of you don't know. Why is our country, our land, in such a mess? One word, it's because of sin. That is why our land is in the state it's in today. And the exact same, yet people with no thought of eternity and their souls will be left at this scene of time. And then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why is people still not coming to Christ? Well, from the text that we just read there, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those which believe not. As I said a brief few moments ago, the devil will keep us busy at everything else to keep us away from Christ. And the world is so, so busy, but yet not one thought of the Lord. And the truth is, the devil does not want you to come to saving faith to Christ this evening. He wants you to carry on in your life, and he wants to believe you and trying to trick you and to tell you that you'll be okay. Oh, but I'm a good person. I'm a member of the church. I take communion. None of that doesn't matter. You could be the best person in Ulster, Northern Ireland, if you haven't got Christ in your heart and your life. We're a lost cause. Caught up in temporal and materialistic things, filling your mind full of lies, and ultimately telling yourself that you don't need Christ. That really is the lie of the devil. So we see the problem of the heart, but we also could think of the potential of the heart as well. You see, whenever a person comes to Christ, the Lord does something that no man or woman can do, and that is he can change absolutely anybody. There is never, folks, anybody too far gone that the Lord cannot help. You think of the drunkard, the drug addict, the harlot, whatever it may be, the Lord can change absolutely anybody because the Lord is in the business of saving and transforming lives. And sometimes I believe as believers, we actually forget that and we doubt that. Is it fair to say that we have a lack of faith that the Lord cannot do what he said he's going to do? You see, we have to rest and we have to trust in him and in his word that he will do what he has promised to do. You see, Paul put it brilliantly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Praise God. All things are become new. You see, what happens is whenever a person comes to saving faith in Christ, the work begins in the inside of the heart. Remember, we touched about the heart. The Lord changes the desires of our heart. You will no longer want to do the things that you used to do. Rather, you will want to do the things of God instead of doing the things of the world. This is what the Lord can do in your life. And we are only sinners saved by the grace of God. You no longer have a separated heart from God, but rather you have the Saviour in your heart. Yes, we still have a sinful heart, us that's saved. We have a heart that struggles. We still have a heart that has problems. And I read a quote, and this is what I quote, this is what a preacher once said. He says, I get irritated when I hear preachers say, come to Jesus and all your problems will be over. The preacher goes on to say, that is just simply a lie. Unquote. If only the Christian life was that easy. You see, as you know tonight, for us that's saved, we will have tribulation in our lifetime. But again, as we have based our message on tonight, we do have the Comforter, we have the Holy Ghost. If only unbelievers knew what was in store for them tonight, there's a totally new life waiting for you tonight. But up until this point in your life, you have never yet came to saving faith in Christ. We no longer have a troubled heart, rather we have a trusting heart. That feeling of guilt, that feeling of shame, that feeling of unrest, that feeling of having no peace, that leaves. And that is placed with knowing and having the forgiveness and peace of God in your life, you no longer have that void in your heart and life. Rather, you have the fullness of joy in your heart, knowing that no matter how bad your past was, no matter what you used to be, it no longer matters. Why? Because you're under the blood. You've been forgiven. You've been cleansed. Nobody can take away your salvation. Oh yes, the devil will try and tell you that. He can try and steal your mind or thoughts, but he cannot, believer, take away your salvation. Praise God. That's sealed for time and for eternity. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, praise God, until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, whenever God starts a work in a believer's life, he will finish it until the day of his return, or until the day that he takes us home to glory. We all know that we are far from perfect, and we will never be until we get to heaven. And we think of what potential there is in this church alone tonight. Oh, to think of what God could do even with our young people here in the congregation. We think of the potential. You think of an old derelict barn lying out in the countryside. But maybe 50, 60 years ago, you can maybe think of a place and it used to look absolutely amazing. And perhaps maybe an investor comes in and somebody with a pile of money. And what happens is they'll come in and they'll throw and they'll spend a lot of money on that barn. And they'll renovate and they'll revamp that barn. And they'll create it into what it once was. A beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful building. And this is the picture that I want to get to use tonight of what Christ can do with you. Yes, you might not see any potential. And believe you me, within myself, there is no within myself without Christ, I have no potential. But this is the message of the gospel tonight, that with Christ in your heart and in your life, God can take you to a place that you can never take yourself. There is great potential in this room tonight. The question is, could you say with a full heart, Lord, start the work within me. Start revival in my own heart. And create me and have me to be my full potential. Think about it. If you come to Christ tonight, he can do and will do a work in your heart and your life that nobody else can do. I can't do it. No preacher can do it. But the Lord can. He has ready for you tonight forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, purpose in life, new beginnings, a future, a plan, guilt removed, a new heart, a new plan, a new purpose, new desires, new friends. This is an opportunity not to be missed, but yet many miss the mark. Why? Because they've been blinded by the devil himself. The Lord Jesus has a new life waiting for you tonight, unbeliever, and he's standing at the door of your heart waiting for you to let him in. You see, the Lord will never force his way into one's life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's what the Lord says. That's his call. If any man hear my voice. What you have to do is you have to open the door of your heart and you have to let him in. The Lord will never force his way into anybody's life. You have to come to him yourself. You have to let him into your heart and into your life. My last wee thought is this, that whenever we think about the problem, whenever we think about the potential with the heart, lastly and quickly, I want to think about the peace that you will receive within your heart whenever you come to Jesus. The truth and reality is, as I said at the start of the meeting, you will never know the peace of God until you are at peace with God. And you'll maybe say, why is this? Well, it's because we have a separated heart. And not only do you have a separated heart, but we also have a heart that struggles. And this is the problem that keeps you from knowing and having the peace of God. And you'll say, well, Matthew, what do I need? You need Jesus. Exactly the same as I did, and exactly the same for those that saved in this meeting tonight. You need Jesus. You need it what I once needed. You need Christ in your heart and in your life. Our text says again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. This is an exclusive peace. Why is that? Well, it's because it's for believers only. It's also, not only is it an exclusive peace, it's also an everlasting peace. Why is that? Well, because it comes from God. All things that God offers is eternal. It's not the peace that the world has to offer that's fake and fraud and all the rest. See, there's two types of people in here tonight, and you're either saved or you're either lost. That's really as simple as it gets. Saved from sin or still lost in your sin. And I can see, and you have heard about the potential that Christ has waiting for you in your life. And I would ask you, can you not see the potential that is waiting for you? And would you not consider to share that experience with the Lord to see what potentials, what heights, what depths you can reach in your new life that Christ has to offer you? And lastly, what peace have you got tonight? If you're in this meeting and if you haven't got Christ, you're not a happy person. You still have that void in your heart and life, and you always will until you come to that place of knowing that you need the Saviour in your life. You either have the peace of God or you have the so-called peace of this world. One is real, one is eternal. One is real, one is eternal, but one is fake and the other is deceitful. And I ask the question tonight as I close, what one have you got? Have you got the peace of God or have you got the peace of this world? Amen. We'll close, we'll sing a closing hymn, please. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, please do not leave without speaking to someone. And we could speak to you, we could certainly talk to you, we could read to you. That's what we're here for. We want to help and we want to relieve the burden from the problematic heart that we all carry. Hymn number 351, please. 351. It's a lovely old hymn, 351. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And just for time's sake, we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Standing as we sing after the introduction, please.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just trust and pray this evening that every individual, young and old, could say the words of this hymn, "It is well with my soul." Lord, if it's not tonight with anyone, we pray, we plead that the Spirit of God would draw on to these individuals. Lord, there are people need Christ. People are broken. They're brokenhearted tonight. And it's only the Lord that can mend and to cure the problem of the heart. And that is that we need salvation. And we know, Lord, that salvation is of thee. We pray, Lord, that you would protect us this week. Keep us near the cross. Keep us under the blood. And most of all, that you would keep us humble. Lord, part us now in thy favour and in thy blessing and in thy keeping. Lord, we love thee and we thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.